Franz Kafka and Milena Jasenska's relationship bloomed almost entirely through letters, a love affair conducted in ink rather than touch. When their correspondence began in 1920, Kafka was an obscure 36-year-old writer recovering from tuberculosis, while Milena was a brilliant Czech journalist trapped in an unhappy marriage in Vienna. What started as professional correspondence, she had translated his story The Stoker, quickly evolved into one of literature's most extraordinary epistolary romances. Despite meeting only twice in person, their letters reveal a connection of rare intensity. "One can tell you the truth like no one else," Kafka wrote to her. From his pension in Meran, he described his balcony sunk into a blooming garden, visited by lizards and birds, while expressing concern about her health. When she mentioned her lung condition, his response revealed remarkable intuition, suggesting her illness might be psychosomatic, her lung volunteering to share the burden her mind could no longer bear alone. By May, their letters had become deeply intimate. Milena's Czech letters made her more vivid to him than German would. "I see you more clearly, the movements of your body, your hands," he wrote. "Yet when I try to picture your face, fire breaks out and I see nothing but fire." This imagery of consuming passion runs throughout their correspondence, revealing the intensity of feelings developing through words alone. The central paradox of Kafka's emotional life emerges in these letters. His capacity for profound love existed alongside paralyzing fear. By June, he confessed his inability to visit Vienna. "I am spiritually ill. My lung disease is nothing but an overflowing of my spiritual disease," revealing his belief that physical ailments manifested deeper psychological torment. When Milena suggested he might stop writing once back in Prague, Kafka responded with intense affection. "You see, I do love you, you dimwit. My love engulfs you the way the sea loves a tiny pebble on its bed." Yet this love remained inseparable from fear. He described himself as perpetually restless, an invalid who trembled at the sight of a toy pistol. "This wasn't merely personal anxiety, but existential. My fear is really something very serious, the fear inherent in all faith since time began." For Kafka, fear wasn't an obstacle to love, but paradoxically its foundation, as he struggled to reconcile his intense longing with his equally powerful fear of commitment. Despite his travel reluctance, Kafka visited Milena in Vienna in June 1920, arriving disoriented after not sleeping for two nights. They wandered Vienna streets and sat in cafes, their conversations profound yet somehow insufficient. The city witnessed their brief romance, highlighting the gap between written intimacy and physical presence. Upon returning to Prague, Kafka was emotionally devastated. In letters, he repeatedly wrote Milena's name, expressing profound exhaustion and not being there. He described their parting as sunlight dimmed, not by clouds, but of its own accord. Their second meeting in Gjönd proved more difficult. Kafka arrived in Vienna half unconscious with fear, yet felt grandly confident in Gjönd, an unusual state that doomed the meeting. Despite their written intimacy, they spoke like strangers. These encounters intensified their correspondence. Kafka's letters grew more passionate yet tormented. He wrote of carrying her telegram, finding it always new. "Once read, absorbed, the paper is empty, but as soon as it's back in my pocket, it is immediately rewritten." Throughout their correspondence, Milena's marriage to Ernst Pollock remained complicated. Kafka insisted he hadn't betrayed a friend, noting he was bound to him, in some respects, maybe more than to a friend. When Milena confessed loving both men, Kafka accepted this painful truth with emotional maturity, acknowledging the complexity without demanding exclusivity. Yet domestic details tormented him. When Milena mentioned polishing her husband's boots, Kafka wrote, "Go ahead and polish them beautifully, then put them in the corner and let it be done with. It's only that you polish them in your mind all day long, sometimes that torments me." This image captured his frustration with her continued emotional investment in her marriage. Kafka increasingly recognized their impossible situation, seeing how Milena cannot free yourself now, and, let's throw the match into the gunpowder, how you never will. Looking at her photograph, he claimed strength while admitting being caught in a tide of sorrow and love. In March 1922, Kafka declared, "All my misfortune in life derives from letters or from the possibility of writing letters." He described letter writing as intercourse with ghosts, both the addressee's ghost and one's own ghost that secretly evolves inside the letter. For Kafka, written communication was inherently flawed. Written kisses never arrive at their destination. The ghosts drink them up along the way, suggesting emotions lost authenticity when converted to words. Modern inventions, like trains and telegraphs, only amplified this ghostly interference, despite promising to bridge distances. With Milena, Kafka vacillated between craving her letters and finding them unbearable. Sometimes he asked her to write less frequently, while admitting, "Just two lines, just one word, but if I had to go without them, I would suffer terribly." This ambivalence reflected his broader struggle with connection. Letters functioned as both bridge and barrier, connecting while emphasizing separation. Illness permeated their correspondence, with both suffering from lung conditions that created a morbid bond. When Kafka learned Milena was coughing blood, he expressed deep distress at her heroically happy life, despite this alarming symptom. Their shared mortality fostered an unusual intimacy. Kafka suggested they might lie down next to one another, comfortable and content, in order to die. A union through mutual suffering rather than conventional happiness. As his health deteriorated, Kafka described constant coughing and feared travel. Though his doctor recommended a sanatorium, he resisted these institutions that literally cough and shake with fever. By late 1920, their correspondence waned. Kafka suggested they stop writing, as letters caused only anguish. His final letters from Berlin in 1923 conveyed resignation. His last letter noted that the old grief, the old pain has found me here as well, ending with regards that collapse at your garden gate, perfectly capturing their relationship's fundamental tragedy. Kafka died of tuberculosis in 1924, while Milena later perished in Ravensbrück concentration camp in 1944 as a Czech resistance member. Their preserved correspondence stands as a profound testament to the complexity of human connection. What makes these letters moving is their candid acknowledgement of human limitation. Unlike conventional love stories promising transcendence through passion, they recognize the insurmountable barriers between them: physical distance, illness, cultural differences, prior commitments, and psychological barriers. Yet within these constraints, they created moments of genuine understanding. Their relationship existed primarily through language, which Kafka saw as both miraculous and fundamentally inadequate. In our digital age of often superficial connection, his insights about written communication's limitations feel increasingly relevant. These letters remind us that love can be profound without being fulfilling, transformative without being sustainable, suspended in a passionate impossibility that produced beautiful writing from both.